Thank you for joining us at Fellowship Church. For additional information, check us out at fconline.tv.
So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The true light, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through Jesus, yet the world didn't know Jesus. Jesus came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. They weren't born of blood or the will of man or flesh, but they were born of God. The Word, that's Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from the fullness of Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God, Jesus Christ, who is at the Father's side, he has made God known. The world is a dark place. Suicide, depression, abuse, sexual assault, war, terrorism, murder. The world is an evil, dark, lonely, and sick place. Everyone does whatever they desire to do. Everyone does whatever feels right to them. Everyone does whatever seems good without considering the effect it has on others, on themselves, or the effect it has to God. Regardless of what you think about this whole Jesus thing, regardless of how you feel about this whole Bible, Christianity, God, religious thing, whatever you want to call it, no one can deny that this world is a dark, evil place that is filled with sin. But this is not the way things are supposed to be. There is hope. There is a light in the darkness. There is a God, and God does care that your light has gone out. God cares. He is the light of this world, and because God cares, because he cares that our light has gone out, God desires to fix this problem. This is the story of Christmas. My name is Anthony Trask. I am pastor at Fellowship Church, and welcome to GLOW. The story of Christmas, it's a story of a loving God. It's a story of a loving God who exists and has existed forever and always co-equally as God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. This story of one loving God, this story of Christmas, is the story of this God who created the universe for his purpose and his reasons alone. The story of a Christmas is the story of a loving God who exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created me and he created you in his image and in his likeness. God created man in his image so that we could be in relationship with him. We were made to reflect his glory. We were made to have meaningful, intimate relationship with our Creator. The Bible says this about God. It says, God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. And so there is hope, and the hope is in the reality, in the fact that we were meant to live in the perfect light, and we were meant to live in the perfect love of a holy, perfect God. We were supposed to reflect that light back to him, and we were supposed to reflect that light throughout all of his creation. You and me were created to glow in the radiance of God's glory. But in reflecting the light of God, in reflecting His light to the rest of creation, in being an intimate relationship with God, we all have failed. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short. We all have committed acts of treason against this holy, perfect God. Here's what the Bible says about sin. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So who sins? Murderers, rapists, terrorists, dictators. Who sins? The Bible says everybody has sinned. And in that statement, it actually gives us the definition for what sin is. It says that we fall short of God's expectations, His glory. So sin is missing the perfect mark that the perfect God has set for us. So the story of Christmas is the story of this loving God who created us in His image and His likeness to reflect His light back to Him throughout creation, to be in relationship with Him, in that we have failed, all have sinned. And if this God is good and loving and perfect like we believe He is, that means that God must punish sin. God would not be a good God if God did not punish sin. If God allowed sinful, evil behavior to continue and to affect the rest of creation and to affect every man and woman on this earth, God would not be a good, loving God. He would be a God who just simply left man to their own devices, and that's not the God we serve. Instead, God cares, and God is good, and God is perfect, and God is just. A good God doesn't allow sin to continue forever. So due to my sin, due to your sin, due to our sin, our light has gone out. Our light has gone out in this world, which was supposed to be affected by the light of its creator. And our light has gone out in our own soul, which was supposed to glow in the radiance of God's glory. Due to our sin, the world lies in darkness. So as a result of sin, because God is good and just, as a result of sin, we find ourselves facing the consequences thereof. So while I said that the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that same book in the Bible then says the wages of sin is death. So there are consequences to sin. There are punishment for sin. And the Bible tells us that the consequence for our sin is, first and foremost, separation from relationship with God. That's the worst consequence of all, being separated from our Creator, who we were supposed to share in relationship with. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, that the consequence of our sin is not only separation from God, but it is also death. So why do people die? Why is there war? Why is there famine? Why is there disease? Why is there terrorism? Why is there murder? Why is there abuse? It is because of sin. It is not because of God. So because of our sin, we find ourselves separated from God. We find ourselves dead in our sin. And then the Bible tells us that the ultimate judgment, the ultimate consequence for our sin is eternal separation from God in a real, literal place that the Bible talks about, that Jesus talks about, called hell. This seems like not good news, but the good news is that God is a God of light and a God of life. And so when we remove ourselves from the God of life and the God of light, only death and darkness remains. And so without intervention, we are left in the dark. Without someone intervening, saving us, we are all left in the dark. And so is that where the story of Christmas ends? And the answer is no. The story of Christmas is the story of a loving God who does not desire that any would perish. The story of Christmas is the story of a loving God who does not desire to leave His children stuck in the dark. The story of Christmas is a story of rescue, of a God who desires to save us from our sin. The story of Christmas is the story of a God who desires to save us from this darkness. So what? What did He do? Jesus said this. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God's desire is that we would not stay in the darkness, and so God sends his son, Jesus Christ, God the Son in the flesh, to walk amongst us, a great bursting forth of light in this darkness that we find ourselves in. Jesus was God literally becoming flesh and dwelling among us. So what did he do? Did he just come and die on a cross? The answer to that is no. He came and lived a perfect life in our place that I could never live, that you could never live, that we could never live. He lived a perfect life of light and obedience to the Father in our place that we could never live. We were called to walk in the perfect light of life. We were called to glow in the radiance of God's splendor, but that we could not do. So Jesus did what we could not. Listen to his words. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, that's me, I'm the light. And this perfect life of light that Jesus lived, do you know what he did with it? He laid it down. He laid down his perfect life of light on the cross. He became a perfect, sinless sacrifice to appease the wrath and the punishment of God for my sins. Because remember, for God to be good and for God to truly be just, God must punish sin. So for God to be just and punish sin, and for God to be a justifier and to forgive me of my sin, Jesus took the punishment for our sins on himself. And a lot of times in Western culture, we talk about Jesus and we have some kind of vague understanding of him. And so we'll say, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. But don't just hold on to that because you're missing out on a lot. Remember, first, he lived for you. And then the Bible says that Jesus became our sin. It says he became the sins of the entire world. He became the sins of the world. He allowed himself to lay his life down, to hang on a Roman executioner's cross, where he would take all of the punishment for all of the sins of all of the world on himself from his Father on our behalf. He died the death that I deserved to die. Jesus exchanged my sin for his righteousness. Jesus took my penalty in my place. So Jesus lived for you, living that perfect life of light. He died for you, laying that life of light down. But thanks be to God, because the light has not been overcome by the darkness. Because Jesus was without sin. Because Jesus didn't just have authority to lay down his life, he also had the authority to raise it back up again. Because of those things, Jesus did not stay dead in a grave. He rose from the grave. He resurrected from the dead, a great burst of light into this darkness. So through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, Jesus has defeated Satan, sin, hell, and even death. And so what does that mean for us? Through the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, through the defeat of our enemy, what does that mean for you and what does that mean for me? It means so much. That means that our sins can be forgiven. Most importantly, that means our relationship can be restored with God. It means, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that God's Spirit can dwell within us, illuminating us from the inside out to live a life we couldn't live without Him. And it means that we can be given everlasting life spent in the presence and splendor in relationship with God, where we can reflect His light for eternity. And so in Christian circles, we use this word salvation. That's what that means. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you can be saved from your sins, saved from death, saved from hell, ultimately saved from darkness. This is the real Christmas story. This is the story of Jesus. And the real Jesus of the real Christmas story wants to know you. And you can know Him. You can know Jesus. You can reflect His glory. You can be in relationship with God. You can live in the perfect life and light of Jesus. You can glow in the radiance of His glory once again. And we can do that because He bought us back from the darkness with His life, His death, and His resurrection. So the message of Christmas is that Jesus wants to know you. Listen to His words. He says, this is eternal life. This is Jesus. He says, this is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God. He's praying to God the Father. He says, this is eternal life, that people would know you, Father, and they would know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So I'm here to tell you the greatest news of all this Christmas is that the only way to experience true salvation, the only way to be rescued from the darkness, the only way to be returned to the light is through knowing Jesus Christ. And some of you may think that what Jesus had to say was offensive or Jesus was a questionable, controversial figure. And let's just admit that, yeah, he said some offensive things. But listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. And let these apply to your life. Jesus said to us, I am the way. I am the truth. And then He says, I am the life. And He takes another step. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Is that exclusive? Yeah. It's the exclusivity of salvation through Jesus. The only way to salvation, the only way to relationship with God, the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven, if you will, Jesus says, is through Him. Okay. So from my religious upbringing and my understanding of religious culture, then I must earn what Jesus wants to give through salvation. I need to join a specific church. I need to become a part of a denomination. I need to enter into this religion. I need to do these good deeds, these good acts, these good works. I need to be a good boy or a good girl. I need to not do this, but do this and make sure that I say this prayer and make sure I do this religious thing and go to this confession, and then maybe God will accept me. Let me tell you and be the first to say, that is not good news. That is news of work and religious behavior that will achieve you absolutely nothing. Because only Jesus could achieve what only Jesus can offer, and that's salvation. And so what you need to know, the message of the Bible is that salvation from Jesus for your sins, it is a gift, and it is a gift specifically of grace. What is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. I deserved hell, but God gave me His Son. I deserve death, but Jesus gave me His life. I deserve separation from God, and I have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. I deserve punishment, but God gives me reward. Not because of anything I've done, but because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. The gift of salvation is a gift of grace. So what do you do with gifts? It's Christmas time. We get gifts. Hopefully you do. What do you do with gifts? If someone comes up to you this Christmas and they pull a package out from under the tree and they start to give it to you, you don't tell them, what do I need to do to earn this? What do I need to do to achieve this gift you're trying to offer me? What can I do for you in order to get this gift from you? You see, that is not a gift, that is a wage. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so a gift is given to you this Christmas. If you are not a follower of Jesus and do not know him, do not consider yourself a part of this whole Jesus movement, this Christian thing, let me tell you that Jesus wants to know you. He wants relationship with you. He offers you a gift, and that gift is salvation from your sin and relationship with God. And it's free, because gifts are free. So what do you need to do to take a gift? What do you need to do to receive a gift? The answer lies in the question. What must I do to receive a gift? I must receive it. That means I need to reach out and accept what's been given. That means I need to trust that that gift is real. That means I need to trust that that gift is for me. That means I need to trust that the gift is good, and I need to trust that I can take it, I can possess it, and it can be mine. And that is what we call faith. And some of you have been raised to believe that faith is belief or religious adherence, but that is not what faith is. The word faith means trust. And Jesus wants to save you from your sins, and to receive that, you must simply trust in him. That's what faith is. Faith is choosing to trust in Jesus and receive the free gift that only he can give. When I opened this up a few moments ago, I read from John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, I'm going to read a verse I read earlier. In this, John, Jesus' friend, writes this about Jesus. He says, "But to all who did receive him," talking about Jesus, "to all who received Jesus, to all who believed in Jesus' name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God." So the story of Christmas, the story of a loving God, created you in his image to be in relationship with him and reflect his light. In that we have sinned, we have failed. So Jesus came and lived the perfect life of light that we could not. He laid his life down in our place, and he rose again, offering us salvation as a gift received in faith. What happens when I put my trust in Jesus? What happens when I receive Christ, to all who received him, to all who believed in his name? What happens if I believe in the name of Jesus? Well, Peter, Jesus' friend and disciple, wrote this about what happens to people who follow Jesus. Peter says, this is why God has saved you. Peter says, this is what God will do for you. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this, "You are a chosen race." He's not talking to black people or white people or Asian people or native people or any kind of person. He's talking about people who have chosen to put their faith in Jesus. Peter says, "You are a chosen race because God's love surpasses any race that we could divide people up with in this life and in this world and in this darkness. But those who call upon the name of Jesus are a chosen race." Peter says, "You are a royal priesthood." That means now, because Jesus has saved you, you're a chosen race, and you've been chosen to serve God like a priest. Peter says, if you step into the light and follow Jesus and put your trust in him, he says, you are a holy nation. The United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Argentina, Zimbabwe, the answer is no. It's talking about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. And so when we trust in Jesus, we're a part of a people set aside for God, which brings up the next point. It says you're a people for his own possession. So when you trust in Jesus and you receive the gift that he gives to you, you become a gift to him. And he holds you in his hands. And Jesus says that nothing can snatch you out of his hands for those who put their trust in the grace that he gives. It says this, "You've been called to proclaim the excellencies of a God who called you out of what? Darkness. Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you and me and we who were created to reflect the light of God, we who were reflected to glow in the radiance of God's glory by following Jesus, by following the light of the world through his Spirit dwelling within us, we can glow as we were intended to. And we can do so from the inside out. So as we wrap this idea up, I just want you to know God cares about you. God loves you. God cares about your life. So I would encourage you, I would implore you, put your trust in Jesus and step into his marvelous light. If you're here and you'd say, hey, I'm a Christian, I trust in Jesus, I would just challenge you, Christian, don't give up this holiday season. Christian, don't let your light go out this holiday season. There is hope for you. There is hope even in this darkness. Know that the darkness cannot overcome the light that is Christ that is within you. So this Christmas season, 2017, you may be in darkness right now. But light has come. And light has a name. And his name is Jesus. And there is no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved than the name of Jesus. And one day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the good news, the Christmas story. That's what we call the gospel. That's what you need to know to be able to glow. So I'm going to ask all of our house lights to be turned off, and I'd like you just to spend a moment, a time of reflection between you and God with no one looking around. One fascinating thing about churches and this whole Jesus thing is oftentimes people will go into a church and they'll hear this story of Christmas. They'll hear this story of a God who loves them. But then they're just dismissed and they leave. But I believe, and at Fellowship Church, we believe in giving people the opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus. Because just as if I offered you a gift, you have to respond and you have to receive. So today you've learned of the gift of salvation through Christ. And with that information, you must respond. You must do something with that. You must choose to either receive it or to reject it. So we won't be a church today that says, okay, here's the good news, just go. Here's your opportunity. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have a relationship with God? Here's what the Bible says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Here's what Jesus himself said. Hey, God so loved the world, he gave me, Jesus said. He gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John said, whoever received him, whoever believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So what must you do? You must receive Jesus and you must confess that he is Lord. You must put your trust in him and his life, death, and resurrection and what he is offering to you right now. So do you need to repeat a prayer after me or join a church or run to an altar? The answer to all those questions is no. You just need to put your trust in Christ. And if God is pulling at your heart, if God is even convicting you of sins and drawing you to a need for a Savior in Jesus, and you want to know, what do I do? I just want to encourage you, begin to reach out to Jesus. Begin to put your trust in him. You might say, well, I don't have the answers to all my questions. My life is not figured out. I don't have my act together. I don't have my stuff in order. And so surely I'm not ready to be saved. The Bible doesn't say if you confess with your mouth, have your act together, your stuff in order, your question answered, and your life together, then you will be saved, does it? It just simply says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. So this is a safe church, a safe place to struggle with doubt. This is a safe place, a safe space to not have your stuff together, but it is a place where that you can hear the good news of Jesus and you can respond. And faith is not knowing everything. Faith is just being desperate and saying, Jesus, would you save me and call me out of this darkness into your marvelous light? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, and no one looking around. Under your chair, there's a Globeton. Maybe you're still holding on to that. Would you grab that? Please do not turn that on. Just if you could hold that and not turn it on. I want to have a real serious moment with you, a moment in time where you can say, today's the day I choose to follow Christ. If you're here, if you're listening online, if you're listening to our podcast, but those who are here on Sunnyside in Salem, Oregon this night at 7 p.m. this Christmas season, 2017, if you'd say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I walked into this place not a follower of Christ, certainly not a Christian. But tonight, even though I don't have everything figured out, what I figured out tonight is that I need Jesus. And tonight I want to put my trust in him. I want to put my faith in him. And I want what he's got and what he's giving me. And that's salvation and relationship with God. If that's you, here's what I want you to do when I ask you to do so. In just a moment, I'm going to give you a very specific time, if that's you, to turn on the light on that baton and raise it up in the air as high as you can. Say, yes, tonight, Jesus, I choose you and trust you. Does lighting up a baton make you a Christian or a religious person or a good person? No way. But here's what it represents. It represents a God who's calling you out of darkness into marvelous light. And by turning that light on, it's just an act of faith to say, tonight I choose the light of Jesus. Would you grab that baton? With no one looking around between you and God, if you'd say, tonight that's me, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I just want you to raise those batons, wave them in the air to say, tonight, God, I choose you. Say that in your own words, in your own heart, and put that baton right back down, and I want to share with you what's just happened. So one, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Two, Scripture says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. If that's you, three, when you turn on your light, say, tonight I choose Jesus. Anyone else? Just a moment here for you to decide. I want to choose Jesus. I don't know him, but tonight I want to surrender my life to him. I choose Christ. I choose to walk out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if you've put your trust in Jesus, here's what I promise to you. I promise you that he has saved you, that you have relationship with him, and that you are a new creation. The old in your life is gone and the new has come, and you are now a follower of Jesus Christ, and you belong to him. And I don't welcome you, but the Bible says that when you surrender your life to Jesus, that angels rejoice in heaven. And so God's kingdom welcomes you into the faith that you've put in Jesus Christ. Everyone else, could you grab your batons? I just want you, starting in the front row and working your way towards the back, when I ask you to do so, I want you to turn on your baton. And if you're behind someone who turns on their baton, turn on and on and on and on until we get to the back. And I want everybody to look around, all these batons lit up. So front row, you can turn those on. And as you see them, turn that on. If you go next row and next row and next row, turn on your batons. Everybody in this house, turn your batons on. Look around. See the difference of light and darkness. See the difference that we can make when we shine the light of the good news of Jesus together. So you may be in darkness now, but light has come, and light does have a name. And his name is Jesus. And no matter who you are, no matter what you do, and no matter where you go, our good and glorious and loving God has given you an abundant opportunity to glow. God, thank you for this time we've shared this evening. Thank you, God, for those who have put their trust in you and said that they want to be followers of Jesus. God, I thank you for those who belong to you, who desire to allow our light to shine in the darkness this year as we go into a new year, God, and we move forward with hope that is only found in your light in this darkness that we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You put your batons down for a sec. I'll give you some instructions of what we're doing. We're going to celebrate here by singing a couple fun songs, but that's not really why we're here. We're here to do what we just did. And on my left hand, on my ring finger, I wear a wedding ring. And the reason I wear that is because I am married. Now, a ring does not make me married. It doesn't make me a husband, but it shows that I am married and it shows that I am a husband. In the same way, Jesus has asked us, when we put our faith in him, to be baptized in water. By no means does the Bible teach nor the Christian church believe that baptism saves you, washes away your sins, or makes you a Christian or a member of a church. But Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so water baptism is a sign that you are now dead to your old way of sin. Just as Jesus died and was buried, you go under the water momentarily to show that you are now dead to your sin. And when you raise up out of the water, it represents the resurrected life and power of Jesus over your sin, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Baptism does not make you a good person. It does not wash away your sins. It's just simply celebrating and saying with faith in front of others that I choose Christ. And I choose this to show that I belong to him. The reason I bring that up now is all weekend long we're doing water baptisms. And if you've put your trust in Jesus and have yet to be baptized in water, I would encourage you to do that. And we're going to go into singing a song to reflect on this message we've just heard. And if God prompts your heart to be baptized, if you'd like to be baptized in water, you can just simply, as we sing this next song, walk right back through the double doors. There is a prayer team back there. They can answer any questions you have about baptism. They can give you towels and clothes to be baptized in. And what we do here at Fellowship Church is we just sing and worship and celebrate as people are being baptized. We don't hand you a microphone or make a video. Just simply rejoice in what Christ is doing and what he has done. And so I know that might seem odd to you, like I didn't come prepared to be baptized. Every year when we do this, and at Easter every year when we do this, every year people say, hey, I want to take that step, and they get baptized. And so if that's you tonight, as soon as we begin to sing, walk right through those double doors. Someone will walk you through that process or answer questions you have about it. If you'd like to schedule being baptized later to bring your friends and family to celebrate with you, you can do that too. But let's pray, let's prepare our hearts to sing, and if that's you who's being called possibly to be baptized, you can do that as we start this song. So God, I thank you for this time. I pray we'd celebrate you through song, through baptism this weekend, through rejoicing in those that you have saved, and we rejoice in this marvelous light you've called us out of the darkness to join. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fconline.tv/give.